Right, well, this morning I'm not going to be continuing what I was speaking about before because something was raised to me a few weeks ago which made me really want to check into it a bit more. So I spend a little bit more time checking into this issue, which is quite useful, and I think I've learnt something as well. In fact, it was quite interesting, one of the things Colin reminded us of last week was obviously we're all learners, we're all learning, and if we say we know best, we know it all, then that's the first time we fail, I think. So in fact, we all have that ability, don't we, to progress in our walk with the Lord. That's part of sanctification. We should improve day by day. So it's something that I learned something a little bit different, and I'll share that with you now a little bit later. What I want to speak on today is really the spiritual battleground that we all face. Okay. Now we know that we're not battling against flesh and blood, but we're battling against powers and authorities in heavenly places, don't we? We know that, we've been told. This is something which most of you will probably know, but it's good for us to be reminded. And as it's happened to me, be reminded on one issue, I changed my mind. So there we go. So just turn to 1 John chapter 2. Right, it's 1 John chapter 2, and I'm going to read... I'm going to read from verse just 15 and 17. I've got quite a few scriptures this morning, and they're all going to be fairly short scriptures. Okay. So 1 John 2, 15 to 17 says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides forever." That's a lovely scripture to start with. When we battle in the spiritual realm, we battle in three fronts. The flesh, Satan and his demonic forces, and the world system. So there's those basic three areas that I want to sort of have a look at and just bring a few scriptures to you on. So if we first look at the flesh. Now, this is flesh. You know, I'm not talking about the body so much as we're talking spiritually, the flesh life, this time, yeah? This inherent evil that's in our human nature, basically, which each of us have. I just want to read three scriptures fairly quickly to you, which will just bring things to reminder. I think we turn it down a little bit. It would just echo in a bit. Right, first Romans chapter 7, verse 5, and it says, "While we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit unto death." Okay. You go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, just 23 and 24. "But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, and we may be justified by faith." And again, I just want to go back to Romans 3, verse 20. It says, "Because of the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin." And we know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, don't we? So we know that before we were believers, we were in this world, the flesh life, and we had no chance to associate with God whatsoever on that. And we're told that that's what God gave the law to Moses for, was to really to show what sin is. No one can ever follow the law perfectly except one person, which was our Lord Jesus Christ. So the law was brought, as these words have said, as a tutor to show us what sin really was. Okay? And it tells us really of the deeds of the flesh life, if you like. If you just look in Galatians chapter 3, and verses 23 and 24. Oh, beg your pardon. Sorry, that's the one I just read. Galatians 5, that's what I meant to say. Verses 19 and 21 tells us a lot of these deeds of the flesh. So it says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, all those things. How much do we see in the world going on? You look at those lists there, and you can see so much of it which is going on in the world. You know, we've prayed for the politicians and what's going on in Brexit. A lot of what you see there, you've seen in the newspapers, haven't you? But that is what is going on in the world. That's what the world is going on. So that is what we call, that's the evil practices of our sin nature, the sin nature which each of us have. And obviously the human body is the vehicle by which the sin nature operates. It can't operate without us, with the flesh. So we're looking at, we call the flesh, human body, but it's also the flesh life, which is that sin nature that we have in us. And of course, before we were Christians, that was all we had. So we had to obey all those various things. Okay. Now, we also know this sin nature as the old man, don't we? So it's not just for unbelievers, we've got it in us as well, because it's the old man that we've refers back to, really, right back to Adam and the origins of the sin nature, which we all inherit. All the result of the fall, isn't it? That we were all spiritually dead at one stage. We were all spiritually dead. Okay? So this is our soul nature before we were born again. There's no other way. That is the nature of humanity before Christ comes into our lives. Okay, that's in nature. So when we're saved, we inherit a new nature. It's called the new man, which we all understand. But then what happens? Then we have this wonderful capacity to serve God with righteousness. Okay. If you look at Ephesians 4, just verses 22 to 24. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. And it says that in reference to your former manner of life, in other words, before you were saved, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So you see, that's what we're told to do. That's what happens to us when we're born again. We can inherit that. You know, at spiritual rebirth, we're united with Christ in his death. What does that mean? That means we're legally freed from enslavement to sin when we come to know Christ. The sin nature is still with us. We've still got that with us. But our will, our free will, is no longer in bondage to the old man. You know, we've been set free from its total control in our lives. And that as we're united with Christ in his resurrection as well, we have this new nature that is alive with God, which is a wonderful nature that we have. Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 5 tells us that if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. It gives us proof. The word is a wonderful thing. It gives us all these proofs of where we are, our position in the Lord, where we stand with the Lord. Okay. So now, when we're born again, we have this new relationship between our will and the newborn human spirit that we have in us. It gives us the capacity to choose who we obey. The old nature or the new nature. We've got this choice in life, you know. And, you know, the thing is, we have this constant conflict. All of our walk with constant conflict with the old nature and the new nature against each one of us all the time. And we're never going to get rid of that. Never, but we have that happening in us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, I want to just read. It says, but... hang on, chapter 5, 16, right. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. This is what we should do. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. Okay? So, we have this newborn human spirit, which is the new man inside us, which is guided by the Holy Spirit. And that is the direction we need to go for. In fact, we've already read the fruit of the old nature. That needs overcoming. And the indwelling Holy Spirit, as I said, enables the newborn human spirit to bear different fruit, which we see in the same chapter, Galatians 5, from 22 to 23. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Yeah, that's the fruit of the new spirit. You know, unbelievers only have the old nature, so they can only, but they can, in human terms, do some of those things. Because people in the world can love. You know, they can have self-control and things like that. But every action a believer has will either be on the basis of the old nature or the new nature. We have this wonderful choice. You know, our free will, which is a free will God's given us, has the capacity to choose whether God is involved with our choices or whether God is not involved with our choices. This is the thing. We have these two natures, and it's which nature... I mean, we all suffer on a daily basis. Which nature do we react to, you know? And what we need is the old nature needs to be decreasing, the new nature needs to be increasing. But we have this. And this this nature, if you like, it's in our mind, it's in our heart, it's in our will. It operates the whole of us. This is where we are. That gives you one of the battlegrounds that we face on a day-to-day basis, doesn't it? Okay. Now, that's the first battleground. The second one is Satan and his demonic forces. All right, that's the second major battleground. Well, his first attack really is temptation. He did that to our Lord Jesus, didn't he? Took him into the wilderness and tempted him. And that's what the enemy is trying to do for each one of us each day, trying us to be tempted to commit sin. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter 5, just verse 8, and it tells us, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And that's what the demonic forces are doing each and every day, prowling around, trying to find who he can devour. We're talking about Christians now, obviously, who he can get back into the world. And the old man come up, this is what happens. To do this, what does he works in conjunction with the old flesh life, the old person, the old man in us. Yeah? Tempts the old nature into do it evil. You know, the beautiful thing is with this, that God sets these limits with how far he can tempt us. We saw that in that first talk I did on Job, that, you know, he said to Satan, well, come on, see my man Job. He's the best I've got at the moment. See if you can. But he put a limit on it. You can't kill him. That was different. Now, he does put limits on each one of us, and I'm sure it's not quite the same as that, but he doesn't allow Satan or the demonic forces to tempt us beyond our ability to withstand. That's one of the wonderful things he said. He sets those limits that they can't progress farther. We've always got this ability to resist. God provides the way of escape for us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. That's a promise. It's another promise. Okay. So, God does allow us to be tempted in various trials. Well, one of the reasons is it's to test our faith in him. It's also to learn obedience to his word. And also we gain patient endurance through these tests and trials that we go. But the wonderful, the word says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We must always remember that. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay, so temptation's the first thing that he turns to. Another problem area is satanic and demonic control. So the question is, can a believer be demon possessed? Question that comes up a lot. Now, my view has always been, well, if you're a believer, we're inhabited by the Holy Spirit within us, and so the devil can't be in us because the Holy Spirit controls us. So we can't be inhabited from within or be possessed from within. We can only be oppressed from without, not demon possessed. Okay? That's always been my view. Because a believer has been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and is owned by him. Okay? So no believer can be owned by Satan or a demon. The interesting thing is actually the Greek word used doesn't actually mean possessed. It means demonized. Okay? Possessed means totally controlled. Right? Demonized is something different. To be demonized, it means to be controlled by a demon from within. But it doesn't mean total possession. That's the interesting thing. You know, we know that an unbeliever can be controlled by a demon from within. There's no two ways about it. You can see that lots of times in Scripture when the Lord delivered people, demons from an unbeliever, obviously, at the time. Can a believer, you know, that is, can a believer have a demon within him? You know, I've always answered no to that from the way I said earlier. But just turn with me to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 5. Find it. Acts 5, just look at one verse, verse 3. Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Why has Satan filled your heart? Now, Ananias was certainly classed with the believers, but Satan had filled his heart. Right? Now, filled, the word filled there is the same word that's used of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. Exactly the same word. Ephesians 5:18, it says, "Do not get drunk with wine for the dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Exactly the same word, filled. Exactly the same word. Okay? So if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? But if we're filled with Satan, are we controlled by Satan? It seemed that Ananias was at that time. You know, the one thing to think of that scripture, Ananias was a believer. I totally believe he was a believer. And Satan controlled him in that instance. Now that gives us a problem, doesn't it? That certainly gives us a problem. Now, in Ephesians 4:27, it says, "Neither give place to the devil." This is what it says, "Neither give place to the devil." Now, the Greek word for place is like a military term. It's a military term meaning a beachhead. Don't give a beachhead. Now, if you look at it in military terms, if you like, look at it like, say, the Second World War, when we were attacking Europe, the boats went over and over, all of them got dumped on the beach and they gathered together and formed their, you know, the whole battalions and got all the ammunition, everything on that one area in the beach so that they could then spread out into the enemy territory. So that's what a beachhead is really having an area of control within an enemy's territory. Okay? And what this says in Ephesians is just that. Do not give a place of control to Satan within you. Okay? Now, the one way this can happen is through habitual sin. That could happen. Now, as I said earlier, my argument would always have been, how is it possible for a demon to reside in the same body as the Holy Spirit? That's always been a question. But we must keep in mind that a believer still has that old nature which we were talking about early. We have the old nature and the new nature. That is the difference. And when the Holy Spirit indwells the believer, he indwells the new nature in us. Okay? So a demon, however, can reside in the old nature of us. The old sin nature of a believer, which we still have. It hasn't been done away with, as we all know, because we can all see the problems, you know, that we read in Galatians. The odd times things flare up in our lives, so we've still got this old nature. And that is the area that Satan attacks within a person. Okay? That's happening. You know, we've always got to remember, haven't we, that we have these two natures and they're a conflict, constantly a conflict one with each other within us. Okay? So that, if you wanted to look at it that way, you could say, well, the Holy Spirit can indwell the same body as a demon. But it's not quite the same because the Holy Spirit indwells the new nature, the demon inhabits the old nature. And that is what we need to hold in balance, if you like. So for a believer then, the solution when suffering from under demonic control, if you like, we're told in the Bible, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's what we're told. We've given that wonderful authority. We've got that authority in the Messiah. Couple of scriptures, 1 Peter 5, go back to 1 Peter 5, we have been there before, just verses 8 and 9, I think I've read 8 before. It says, be sober in spirit, be on the alert, your adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren in the world. Resist. That's what we're told to do. Also, that lovely scripture that I like in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That is a promise. Resist, and he will flee from you. Okay. Now, when we go back to our early church that we were in, which was a charismatic church, very charismatic. It was with any problems anyone had, it was rebuke Satan, in the, you know, and I bind you, Satan, all this. What do we think we are? What do we think a human is capable of binding Satan? You've got to, when you look at logically, you think it's a nutcase now, isn't it? There's only one person that can bind Satan, and that is our Lord. And he will do it. But that's what we were into. And so, you know, with all this deliverance stuff and everything, it's, when you look back at the old days, I mean, I think with all the things I saw, I maybe saw once an actual, what I feel is was an actual deliverance of a person in our old church. Once out of every week, someone was getting prayed for this and that. But anyway, that's by and by. We need to know our position in Christ, who gives us our strength. That is the critical thing. We need to know where we stand in Christ. Yeah. In fact, Arnold Fruchtenbaum's done a great manuscript called, I think it's called, The 33 Positional Truths That We Have in the Lord. And those are really worth brushing up on, because when we know that, this is what we have, is our strength, if you like. Now, another area of demonic control really is Satan's counterfeit program that he puts in place. You know, it began with Satan's pride at the beginning. He wanted to make myself like the Most High. Pride, this is what he wanted to do. That continued by influencing the rebellion in the Garden of Eden. It continued through trying to wipe out the seed of the woman, and it continues, I think, to this day with false prophets and false teachers that go around preaching things which are not biblically sound. So we're told the solution to counteracting these problems, we're told, to be strong in the Lord, it tells us, and put on the full armour of God. Let's just read it. It tells us all in Ephesians chapter 6. Where are we going? Missed it. I will actually read this bit, because it's not just the items of armour that we're really interested in here. If we just look at from verse 10 onwards, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord. That's one of the key things. We've got to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armour of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armour of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparations of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints. That gives you the whole lot, really, not just the items of the armour, but it tells you what to do and how to do it, how to control it. So that's another battleground, really, that we've got to look at, is this counterfeit programme that's going to go on. It's going to go on, obviously, until the tribulation with the Antichrist, etc., etc. But we get this counterfeit programme, which is, you know, with Satan, he doesn't do something totally different. What he does, he takes the word and he twists it just a little bit. And then sometimes later, a little bit more. And then a little bit more. And finally, what you find is you're going down a road which goes way off the word. And that's what he tends to do. So then we get to our final battleground. So we've had the flesh, we've had the satanic forces, and then we get the world. Now, we're not talking about the land and things that we're living on at the moment. We're talking about the world system. And we've got enough problems with that at the moment, as Nigel brought on in prayer this morning, haven't we? This world system is going downhill, absolutely. Well, it's just going down crazily at the moment. It's all under satanic control, which we all know. Which we all know. At this moment in time, in fact, Gospel of John in 12:31 gives us a bit of reasonable news. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out, says Jesus. In fact, he was cast out, but that's that verse at the time. So what we've got to realise, and we all do, I'm sure, is we are in the world. We're here. We've got a job to do in the world, but we're not of the world. We're not of this system, world system. We can't get away from it. We're in it each and every day, but we don't participate in it as such. You know, our job in the world, what's our job in the world? Is to be a good witness for Christ, isn't it? Number one, be a good witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. To promote the gospel of salvation, to promote the gospel of the kingdom, the coming kingdom. We're to mature in our spiritual maturity. We're mature in the word. We must, how do we do that? We've got to stick to the word. We've got to read the word. We've got to learn more as we progress. Meditate on the word of God and seek the Lord in prayer. We've got to constantly do these things. We don't know best. God does. And we need to seek his will for everything, I think, on that. So we get all these three areas of spiritual warfare that all of them have judged at the cross. A whole lot of them. Let me just very quickly go over the flesh. The flesh was co-crucified with Christ. And that's told us in Romans 6, 1 to 10. And just go to a shorter one, Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 3. Romans, we can get there. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, weak as it is through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. So the sin in the flesh life has been condemned at the cross. This means that the flesh has no legal authority over any of us. Okay? It's still active, very active, but we're not under an obligation to obey it. You know, we've got the wonderful victory in Jesus Christ. So we don't have to obey the flesh life, you know? It's not easy. Very hard sometimes, but that's what we're told. We've got that wonderful victory. So the flesh life has been judged at the cross. Satan is a defeated enemy. We know, I just read that, but if we've a few chapters on in John, when the Lord gets to John 16, where he's later in his ministry, John 16, verse 11, it tells us, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged, was judged at the cross, has been judged. So he's a defeated enemy. You know, I think we sometimes forget that he is a defeated enemy. Yes, he's still got a certain amount of oomph, but he's a defeated enemy. That's wonderful to know. So that's the second thing, that Satan and his demonic forces also have no legal authority over us. Okay? As it says in James 4:7 again, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It gives us this responsibility. This is what we have to do. Now the world system, that's come under judgment also. When you look at it, there's so much really, but you know, our sins in the world have been judged and blotted out. Something we tend to forget, that when we became believers, all our past sins were completely blotted out. It says God forgets them. I mean, that is the wonderful thing. And okay, we do sin on a daily basis, but all we've got to do from now on is go to the Lord, repent of what we've done, and they're forgiven. So that world system, this whole thing of us behaving like the world, that's completely been judged. You know, we've still got to live in this sinful world, but we're no longer of its nature. And we've got this ability, really, to live a different lifestyle, which we should do. You know, it's not something suddenly you become a believer, suddenly everything changes. No, that doesn't happen. It takes a long time of progression, doesn't it? This is this work of sanctification, which will take us all our life on this planet Earth. It's gradually getting better. So that's been judged. The world's been judged. So this conflict then of the old nature and the new nature, that's fought out, as I said before, it's in the mind, it's in the heart, and it's in our will. All of us, really, this is fought out in. And as believers, we're told that we must be seen to walk according to the newborn human spirit, which takes its lead from the Holy Spirit, of course. And that, again, it's, again, going back to Galatians. I've got quite a lot in Galatians this week. Galatians 5, 16 and 17, which I've read. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Okay? So, basically we must do that. We have the Holy Spirit, which is in our new man, which guides our new nature and helps our new the new nature, really, the whole thing, helps us to overcome these problems, doesn't it? So we must strive to carry out the duties of the spiritual life, which is just mentioned there. They're actually demanded by the Word of God, you know, which is what we've got to do. It's no good saying, oh, maybe I'll do this. No, that's what it tells us. And when we do learn all these new things in the Word, we have to do what it says. That's where the old man comes in. I don't really need to do that. You know, this is what happens. This is the difficulty that we've got. But we've got to understand the most important thing for a believer is we must understand our position in Christ. That is so important. And that document I mentioned to you is really well worth reading, because it gives us the strength that we know our position in the Lord. And then we can stand firm against the wiles of the enemy. You know, the old man needs to decrease. The new man needs to increase, doesn't it? We've got to do that. The old man decrease, the new man increase. Throughout our Christian walk, we'll be battling with that. So with this knowledge of the spiritual battleground, knowing our position, as I said, in Christ, we're able to resist the enemy, move forward in our walk. Listen to this, just as this old hymn says. And I read this, I thought, he's telling us everything. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. At the name of Jesus, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthem raise. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never gainst the church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, and that cannot fail. Onward then, ye people, join our happy song. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, Lord, and honour unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. That's where we should be. That was written somewhere between, I think, 1820 and 1900 was his lifestyle. That's where they were in the 1800s. That's where we should be now. That's the job we should have. We're not weak. The problem is, because of what is happening in the church worldwide, we all think we can't do this. This isn't happening these days. That is not right. That's what we have. That's what we should stand firm on, and that's what we should do. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. We just thank you that you do give us these wonderful promises in your word, Lord, so that we know exactly what will happen to us, Lord, when we pass from this earth. We know what our job you've given us to do here, Lord. And we just thank you that some of these hymn writers have wrote these wonderful hymns of old, Father, that we sing. Sometimes we tend to sing them and miss the complete meanings of the words, Father. But Lord, we just thank you. We just ask that you help us, Heavenly Father, to be better witnesses for you, Heavenly Father. And Lord, to just do what you want us to do. Obey your will, Father. Help us to overcome the enemy, we pray. And help us to be able to help others that have problems, Lord, to overcome and to resist. Help to build them up, Father, in your truth. Because when we have your truth, we know that we have the ability to stand firm on your word. And as it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you in your strength, Lord Jesus. Amen.